Good morning. It's 9 a.m., April 30th. I'd like to bring the University Budget Subcommittee to order. Today, joining us at the table and helping is Kelsey Riker, and Allison is over there running comms. I guess we got communication today. Each member has a narrative, a BA sheet, fund source totals and comparisons prepared by Ledge Finance. Walking us today through this presentation of the subcommittee is Mr. Grusendorf. Good morning, sir. You know the drill, and the floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tim Grusendorf, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. In front of you, I'll walk through the narrative on what the proposal is for the FY22 budget for the University of Alaska. And for general funds, the proposal is to spend $577,788,000, federal funds $137,225,000, and $75,116,000 of other funds. There are only two action items that we've chosen to take up. First, restores half of the governor's $20 million reduction to the UA main campuses. And then the second item is denial of the structure consolidation, retaining the FY21 status quo. And that is the committee's recommendations.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Von Emma?
No questions.
Motion?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I move the FY22 operating budget for the University of Alaska from subcommittee with the attached legislative finance reports. First, agency total. Second, transaction compare FY22 adjusted base to Senate subcommittee. Number three, transaction compare governor's amended to Senate subcommittee. I also move that the Legislative Finance Division is directed to make any appropriate conforming or technical changes.
Thank you. Any other closing remarks before we adjourn this subcommittee?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank the work of the subcommittee, Senator Hoffman's and his staff for preparing this report. I'll probably have a couple of questions to get back to the university in terms of sort of the CARES Act funding and how that's going to play in a part of the additional reduction here in the governor's amend proposal. But other than that, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. We're adjourned. Finance Committee to order. The time is 9:05, April 30th, 2021. Today, excused absences are Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Hoffman. Present today are Senator Von Imhoff and Senator Wilson and myself. There are one item here today, and that's the OMB's presentation, Operating Capital Budget Supplementals. Mr. Steiniger, you bring yourself before the committee and walk us through your action items. And Senator Wilikowski is online, listening online this morning as well. Okay.
Good morning. For the record, Neil Steiniger, Director, Office of Management and Budget. You should have three spreadsheets in front of you this morning that were included. I will start with the spreadsheet titled Supplemental Operating Items. What we are going over today are all the various supplemental requests included in different vehicles introduced by the governor, including both the Fast Track Supplemental Bill, supplementals included in the operating budget, supplementals included in the capital budget, supplementals included in the regular supplemental bill, and supplementals included in the ARPA proposal from the governor. So because they are across a large number of vehicles, we saw it be helpful to include them all in a single spreadsheet. So on this spreadsheet, you will note that some of the items are highlighted. Those are items that are new since the last time we came to the committee and spoke to you about supplemental items. So the white items here have been presented to the committee before, but if you have any questions on any of them, please feel free to ask. So starting with page one, item one, this is a supplemental to replace interagency receipts to cover an anticipated shortfall in the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations. This is to offset the increased cost to other agencies of biweekly payroll. Item two is in the Department of Administration Risk Management. This is a technical item that allows for implementation of statutory language that deposits excess general funds into the Catastrophic Reserve Fund to maintain a balance of $5 million. Item three in the Department of Commerce Corporation's Business Professional Licensing is $411,000 to offset revenue deficits in professional licensing programs as a result of a suspension of fee increases. To note that suspension of fee increases makes this COVID-related shortfall not eligible for the ARPA revenue offsets. In Department of Education and Early Development, there is a FY21 supplemental to address the School Finance and Facilities Division. This division was inadvertently short-funded with the veto of school bond debt reimbursement. Also in Student and School Achievements in the Department of Education is a reduction in the Alaska Technical Vocational Education Program funding. You'll see throughout this document items related to TVEP funding. Everywhere where you see TVEP impacts, you'll see two items. That is because initially the projection of TVEP funding and the needed adjustment was projected and then was revised at a later date. So you see both the initial and the revision. Item seven in Department of Environmental Conservation is $70,000 as a result of a delayed energy efficiency project. So there's a one-time cost to ensure that they're able to meet needs as they bring that energy efficiency project online. Item eight is unanticipated legal expenditures in environmental health within the Department of Environmental Conservation of $120,000. Item nine is a replacement of commercial passenger vessel compliance fees for shellfish testing. And actually, one thing to add as I go through these, there is a column that notes whether or not the other body has included this in their operating budget. I will note, though, in particular on item 9, where it says not included in the House CS, this spreadsheet hasn't been updated for actions taken yesterday. And so this was addressed through their amendment process. Item 10, again in the Department of Environmental Conservation, are other unanticipated legal expenses in an amount just shy of $247. Item 11 is $590,000 in general fund match to match additional federal receipts that we received through the Help America Vote Act for Division of Elections. Item 12 in the Office of Management and Budget is language allowing the use of lapsing funds from the prior fiscal year to ensure stabilization of interagency chargeback rates. Item 13 in the Division of Adult Public Assistance in Health and Social Services, $1.2 million to maintain benefit payments for the Adult Public Assistance Program. This is the MOE for the Medicaid program. Item 14 is $6 million in the Alaska Psychiatric Institute to support client services. Item 15 is a language item allowing for use of lapsing Medicaid funds to cover the fiscal year 22 Medicaid budget and allow them to taper down to a lower level. Item 16 is an adjustment to the Permanent Fund Dividend Hold Harmless program that goes in concert with the proposal to complete the fiscal year 21 Permanent Fund Dividend payment. Item 17 is in subsidized adoptions and guardianships and reflects an increased need in guardianship subsidies, adoption and guardianship subsidies. Item 18 in Alaska Vocational Technical Education Center is operational support for COVID-related revenue shortfalls. This has been proposed with using Alaska Housing Capital Corporation receipts. Item 19 is, again, more of the TVEP funding adjustments, as well as item 20 on the next page, and items 21 and 22 are also TVEP adjustments. Item 23 in the Department of Law is a $4 million multi-year appropriation for statehood defense. Item 24 in the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is $1.2 million in federal receipts for facility maintenance. Item 25 is an item that hasn't been brought before the committee before. This is designated program receipts for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, which will allow them to assist other outside entities in managing housing programs that those entities had funded under some of the COVID relief appropriations from the federal government. Item 26 is a sortie for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to manage those housing programs directly granted to the state of Alaska. Item 27 is an adjustment to investment management fees for the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. Item 28 is a department-wide risk management position for the Department of Revenue. Item 29 is another item that hasn't been before the committee, and that's a Northern Region winter storm event for $331,000 to address a extreme weather event that happened in the Northern Region. Item 30 is another TVEP adjustment, as is item 31. Item 32 is a deposit of $30 million into the Disaster Relief Fund. The source of that is a reappropriation of $90 million in unrestricted general fund and CBR appropriated for COVID response that was not needed due to the amount of federal relief received. Item 33 is a deposit of repealed capital projects into the capital income fund. This in our budget elsewhere is used to support deferred maintenance programs. Item 34 is the completion of the payment of the fiscal year 21 permanent fund dividend. There's a typo on the sheet. It says 22. This is for the completion of the 21 dividend. Item 35 is a technical adjustment to adjust language on the distribution of cruise ship head tax receipts. It referenced the wrong year, and in updating that year, we also updated the estimate to reflect the dramatic reduction in collections. Items 36 and 37 represent judgments and settlements and claims against the state. Item 38 is another settlement against the state, commonly called the Morse Settlement. It's a disability law center. This is separated out as it funds appropriations within the Department of Health and Social Services, and is a little bit different in nature than a normal judgment or settlement. If there's no questions on that packet, I will move to the packet titled Supplemental Capital Items.
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Okay. Senator Wilson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question online. I guess it would be 25 and 26 are for the additional receipt authority for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Is this just a straight pass-through, or is there administrative fees that the Alaska Housing Corporation is also going to incur so that we recoup some of the admin costs of administrating these fees?
Through the Chair, Senator Wilson, I don't believe there are significant administrative costs added, you know, taken out of these by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, but I don't know the exact cost of administering the program. I do know that they've been working with those outside entities that received these monies that, you know, don't have the capacity to manage the programs, and HSC has the capacity to manage both their own program and the outside program. I would have to get back to you on the exact nature of, you know, how they're covering that administrative cost, though.
Thank you. Before we move on, Mr. Steiniger, Senator Wilikowski, did you have any questions, sir, on this supplemental for operating before we move to the capital?
Yeah. I, Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wondering if I could get a list of the legal costs, the detail on the legal costs that have been incurred. And then also, what is the unanticipated DEC legal costs?
Go ahead, Mr. Steininger.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, we'll get you a list of the I assume you're referring to the judgments and settlements listed in the packet. We can get you a list of all of those judgments and settlements. The DEC legal costs, they had an enforcement case against a public water system owner-operator that was significantly greater than their normal annual legal costs. They also had a multiple large permit issues for pollution discharge that were also significantly greater than their normal annual costs that they work with Department of Law. And
thank you.
Yep. No further questions from the table. Mr. Steininger's capital items, please.
So on supplemental capital items, starting on item one, this is $230,000 for a system server replacement for the Department of Administration that is for the retirement system. Item two in Department of Commerce is the Electrical Emergencies Program. Item three, also in Department of Commerce, is an adjustment to the NPRA Impact Grant Program, the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Grant Program. Item four is $2,300 for the Blood Bank of Alaska. This is from license plate fees when people buy specialty license plates. Item five is for the Department of Commerce. It's a community block grant program. They've received additional monies through COVID relief from the federal government. Item six in the Department of Education is a statewide school capital funding forecast database. This is a database to track condition of school facilities, and that's $247 from the school fund, which is allowable for use on school facilities related items. Item seven, also from the school fund, is a Mount Edgecombe High School master plan update for $330,000. Item eight and nine are the Village Safe Water Program for the Department of Environmental Conservation. There's been an increase in the amount of federal receipts available, which require match. They have adequate federal authority to receive the federal receipts. They just need the match money in order to receive them.
Could we have the federal authority? How much excess federal money do they have? You see what I'm saying? Do we got a $50 million bank there, federal receipts, or do we got a $20 million? You know, just give us an idea. You can get back to the committee on that.
Chair Bishop, I can get back to the committee with the total amount of available federal receipts they have in old projects.
Thank you. Continue, please.
Item 10 in the Department of Fish and Game is the Sport Fish Recreational Boating and Angler Access Program. One thing to note on the supplemental capital items, there are quite a few of these items that are normal annual recurring items that just were left off at the end of session last year because of the truncated timeline. Item 11 is with Department of Fish and Game, $500,000 for facility vessel and aircraft maintenance. Item 12 is $7.7 million in federal receipts for the Pacific Salmon Treaty Chinook fishery mitigation. Item 13, also for Fish and Game, is wildlife management research and hunting access. This is another normal annual recurring project. Item 14 in the Office of the Governor is statewide deferred maintenance in $5.9 million. This should be taken also in context with a request in the normal capital budget for deferred maintenance as well. This was when it was proposed the amount we sought could be deployed if the supplemental budget had passed earlier in session. Item 15 is $3 million for security, general election security due to COVID-19. This may seem odd since the election has already occurred. The department or the division utilized other available funding to cover that need, but at this point needs to have the supplemental granted so that they can continue operations through the rest of the year. Item 16 is $4 million for the Department of Law for prosecutor recruitment and housing. This is to bolster a $3 million increase to their operating budget base to address sexual assault and domestic violence cases. Item 17 in the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is a statewide roof, envelope, and fall protection maintenance program, $850,000. Item 18 is security upgrades at the Bessel Readiness Center in $70,000. Item 19, also in DMVA, is the Kotzebue Readiness Center HVAC system life cycle replacement of $250,000. Item 20 is the Bessel Readiness Center water system, which is $125,000. Item 21 is a reappropriation. This is a technical item. The SATS and ALMAR systems, Alaska Land Mobile Radio, were moved from the Department of Administration to DMVA. There's old capital projects that just need to be reassigned to the new department. Item 22 is in Department of Natural Resources. This is the Land and Water Conservation Fund federal grant program. It's $3.5 million in federal receipts matched by $900,000 in general fund.
Senator Wilikowski, do you have any questions on this page?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Continue, Mr. Steiniger.
Item 23, also in the Department of Natural Resources, is new subdivision development for land sales. This is $750,000 of state land sale receipts. Item 24 in Department of Natural Resources is geological material centers scanning equipment. This is a total of just under $1.3 million from a variety of fund sources. Item 25 is $49,000 for Exxon Valdez oil spill outreach. Item 26 is to enhance capacity at the Geological Material Center. This $375,000 will be provided by the entity that wishes to use that capacity and to lease space in that center. Item 27 is a new item not been in front of the committee before. It's for assessment of landslide hazards, particularly in Prince William Sound, to help with warning system timelines for landslides and resulting tsunamis. Item 28 in the Department of Revenue is a replacement of one of their IT systems that is quite aged and still running on the state mainframe.
Senator Wilikowski, questions?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Item 29 is a reappropriation of a prior year project for just under $485,000. This will be used by the Department of Revenue for tax expertise and economic impact analysis and legal analysis of any tax proposals that come forward. Item 30, also in the Department of Revenue, is a AHFC item, $5 million in federal receipts. This is continued COVID relief from the federal government for homelessness. Item 31, also in Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, is $50 million in COVID receipts for home ownership assistance. Item 32 in the Department of Transportation is just under $6 million of deferred maintenance for public buildings. There's a specific class of buildings owned by the state, generally office buildings. Item 33 in the Department of Transportation is decommissioning and remediation of Class 5 injection wells, $1.7 million.
Mr. Steininger, are we getting to the end of this as far as the injection well remediation with our liability? Do we know, or you can get back to the committee?
Chair Bishop, I might have to get back to you. I do know in my note that it does say that the required work has to be completed by December 31st of 2021, but I can work with the department for more information.
Yeah, I see that we've extended that before. I think in the past. That's fine. Senator Von Imhoff.
So just going back to number 31 for $50 million for the AHFC homeownership assistance, in the explanation it says is part of the American Rescue Plan Act for 2021. And I was just curious because I know that we have this ARPA items list coming up. How come this was not included in that?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, probably just a clerical error of putting it on the wrong list. It may actually be.
Well, we'll just wait till we get to the ARP list. But okay, so technically, 31 should belong to the other list.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, actually, I'm seeing why that is. So we actually put this forward in early April, separate from our ARP bill because it had been. Noticed as kind of there's a little more clarity about what it was, and so we had put it forward earlier. And so this other spreadsheet on the ARPA items really just reflects what were in our ARPA bill. So that's where kind of the confusion of why it's on a different list.
Please continue.
On item 34, our capital projects that have been completed under budget, and so there's available funds that can be reappropriated back to the general fund, $4.3 million. Item 35, similarly, but $1,600 to the Alaska Capital Income Fund. Item 36, similarly, our capital projects coming in under budget at $8,600, these going to the commercial passenger vessel head tax account. And the last two items, both for the court system, the first is court security improvements of just over $1.5 million. And item 38 is deferred maintenance for court buildings of just over $1.5 million.
And Senator Wilikowski, any questions on page 5 and 6?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Please continue, Mr. Steininger.
Thank you. And the final spreadsheet represents ARPA items, American Rescue Plan Act items included in our ARPA bill. We've organized these. The first section of items are the non-discretionary programs. So these are items that come direct through the act to a specific state agency for a specific purpose. There may be some discretion in the way the funds are deployed for that purpose, but generally speaking, these are items with restrictions from the federal government on how they're spent. Item 1 is a National Endowment for the Arts Fund for the Alaska State Council on the Arts. Item 2 is from the Institute of Museum and Library Services for library operations of just under $2.2 million. Item 3 is pass-through funding to communities. This is $185 million that will be passed through to communities with fairly discretionary rules for those communities. Item 4 is mental health block grant funding for the Division of Behavioral Health, just over $3 million. Item 5, also in behavioral health, substance abuse block grants of $4.7 million. Item 6 is pandemic emergency assistance of just shy of $3.4 million for the Department of Health and Social Services. Items 7 and 8 are both child care related grants. One is child care stabilization for $45.5 million, and the other is child care development fund grants for $28.4 million. Item 9 is the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, also called LIHEAP, which is $23.7 million. Item 10 is a grant for $1.1 million for WIC benefit improvements. That's improvements for the actual cash vouchers that go out for food. Under 11 is pandemic EBT administrative grant of $768,000. Item 12.
On 11, is that for the summer school lunch program?
Chair Bishop, yes, this is primarily for school lunch program.
Thank you.
Item 12 is $22 million for COVID testing. This is pretty honed in on testing for reopening of schools and not just general testing that the Department of Health and Social Services has been managing through this crisis. Item 13 is $32.4 million for COVID vaccinations. Item 14 is $290,000 for child abuse prevention. Item 15 is for supporting older Americans and their families, $7 million grant.
Senator Wilikowski, questions on page one?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Fire away.
And underway next year to have every student in the public school system tested every week for COVID. Is that your understanding? Is that what this funding is for?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, this funding is for testing and screening testing for the assistance of helping schools reopen. I don't know if it is specifically for every student every week, but I could get back to you with some more information on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Please continue, Mr. Steininger.
On page 2, line 16, there's $441,000 in higher education emergency relief funds for the Alaska Vocational Technical Education Center. One thing to note on this is that half of that funding must be spent on grants directly to students. Item 17 within the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is $880,000 for emergency management grants. For the implementation of national preparedness system. Item 18 to the Department of Transportation is $6.6 million for Federal Transit Administration grants. You can see in the description an outline of how these funds are distributed and where they're directed to go in the act. Item 19 for the University of Alaska is $30.8 million from the Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund. Again, half of this money must be spent on grants directly to students. And the one capital non-discretionary program is in the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. This is anticipated to be $6 million, but it is a grant they have to apply for, and that's for unemployment insurance mainframe system support.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So just to confirm that items 1 through 20 are direct and pass-through, as in they go from the federal government or the Treasury to the various different departments that you've highlighted. The legislature, just to confirm, has no direction or appropriation in these dollars. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, the legislature has the choice of whether or not to appropriate the department, the receipt authority, to receive these direct grants, but we don't have the authority to change the rules beyond what the federal government assigns to those dollars.
So to be clear, let's just pretend that we're looking at, line 12, I'm just making it $22 million for health and social services. The legislature could either decide to accept the $22 million or not, but what they cannot do is take that $22 million and then divert it over to the Department of Fish and Game.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that's correct.
Or pay a dividend with it.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff, for your question. Please continue, Mr. Steiniger.
So moving to page 3, this is where we get to the discretionary money, where the state has a lot more latitude in how these funds are deployed and used, and this is where, you know, the significant policy discussions between the legislature and the administration need to happen on how we best deploy this money. What you'll see here reflected are initial allocations that have been put forward for the purpose of beginning that discussion with the legislature.
Excuse me for a minute, Mr. Steiniger. Senator Olson, are you able to connect with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. I've been trying to call in and was finally able to get through here. So I've been listening to the majority of the committee meeting.
Thank you. Okay, good. We're glad we got you online. So we're stopping at the end of every page and asking offline senators to comment. So I'll be stopping here in a minute, and if you got questions, we'll get you in the queue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Mr. Steiniger, please continue.
Thank you. So as I said, this page 3 of 4, and as well as 4 of 4, reflect the more discretionary dollars and really are just allocations to begin that discussion of how to allocate the $1 billion in discretionary money that came in through ARP. So to walk through that, item 1 is an allocation intended to be for the protection of Alaskans, both, you know, health and other. We've allocated $80 million to that, split between item 1 and 2. Item 1 is much more general. That could include things like, you know, health support if there's, you know, a new variant or a surge in cases, support for the Department of Health and Social Services to continue some of its testing programs not covered under the other less discretionary grants. Item 2 is $6 million specifically for grants to sexual abuse, human trafficking, and domestic violence organizations, ran through the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Item 3 is a $325 million tranche, specifically for economic recovery and innovation. So ideas under this would be, you know, business relief type programs, or also programs that could help Alaska move out of the pandemic with kind of shifting in the way that businesses do business. So it's looking to provide that relief to small businesses throughout the state.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. If this was awarded to the state, or I guess accepted by the legislature and put in the budget, is the administration ready to distribute these funds in a timely and fair manner, or do you need a little bit more time to put a program in place similar to what we saw with the $290 million earlier for business, small business grants?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, so as these are presented right now, they are buckets of money and rough allocations that we think need to be refined further. Because the guidance for the use of this money isn't anticipated until May 10th, we really don't have specifics on how it will be deployed. So to answer your question, yes, more time is needed to know exactly how to best deploy these monies, and we're hoping that through the legislative process, granted is, you know, there's not much time left in session, but we're hoping through that process we can better refine some of these ideas and make some of the decisions about whether appropriating the full $1 billion this year is, you know, the right idea, or if it should be split into two tranches with, you know, $510 million and $510 million or some other distribution. And, you know, which would allow us for, you know, kind of better understanding of the guidelines after they come out to refine programs that will work better. So we're not, we don't necessarily have specifics on how this money would be distributed at this date. This is to start that conversation of how to best deploy the money.
Okay, thank you.
Please continue.
So item four is an allocation specifically for tourism revitalization. So while there is the economic recovery and innovation allocation, we know that the tourism industry specifically in the state has been one of the most hard hit, and especially with the possibility of reduced tourism going into this next season, we know that a significant allocation needs to be made there. Item five is around the idea of infrastructure investment. The ARPA Act includes mention of infrastructure programs, particularly for water, sewer, and broadband, but it does not appear that that is exclusive to, but we'll see when we get the guidelines how much more detail on infrastructure activity can happen. Item six is just over $19 million, and this is for replacement of revenue lost due to COVID in designated general fund or restricted revenue sources that support state programs. So we know areas like Department of Fish and Game with some of their receipts, or cruise ship head tax receipts that cover certain state programs, there have been losses in revenues in those areas. And we need to be able to utilize some of that lost revenue replacement, guide that ability within ARP to kind of fill some of those gaps in the short term. And so we've set aside $19 million in our plan for that purpose. Item seven is $120 million of general fund, unrestricted general fund revenue backfill. And so that would be accomplished by supporting regular state activities with ARPA funds, allowing those general funds to then be returned to the general fund rather than used on that general government service. And that just is saving money to, you know, put back into the state treasury. That is, as we read it, allowable under the ARPA guidelines.
Thank you. Senator Olson, I'll go with you first. Do you have any questions, sir?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I do on the page that they're number two.
Yes, number
VOCA
two.
Funds, the VOCA funds, the Victims of Crime, Victim of Crimes Act.
Could you, Senator Olson, there's a little bit of a delay. If you could just restate your question.
The question I have on the VOCA funds, the Victims of Crimes Act.
On page two.
Chair Bishop, I believe it's item two on
page item three. Two on page one. Okay.
I guess that's what I was questioning. It has to do with the $6 million for sexual assault and domestic violence specifically.
Okay. In your...
There's a shortfall right now within the victims division, and the one was wondering, well, could we just be used to cover the shortfall that's there, and is there enough money, and are they able to go ahead and do it?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the $6 million on line two, while it's not a direct replacement of the loss of VOCA funds, does provide CDVSA, the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, that manages those VOCA funds, to use the $6 million to avoid the drop-off in grant amounts to those entities that rely on that funding. So this $6 million is intended to address the reduction in funding from other sources that those entities receive. The connection and allowability to ARP funds really is a connection of domestic violence during lockdown orders. And the
result. Mr. Chairman, follow-up?
Follow-up.
Yes, how much would they be short after they get the $6 million then? Do you have an idea?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, my understanding is the federal grant itself was reduced by about $1.4 million going into this fiscal year. This $6 million would replace BOSAT shortfall, but bring them back up closer to sort of the baseline that they had received in the past. There's been a steady decline over the last several years in the receipts from VOCA from the federal government as a result of just the complexity of how that funding is calculated at the federal level. This $6 million should solve the problem for the grantees, at least in the short term. But you know, we'll have to continue to monitor the amount of money coming in through that that federal grant through VOCA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
Thank you. Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah. What is the administration's position on using the full $1 billion this upcoming fiscal year versus spreading it out over several years?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, you know, as we look at this, we proposed the full $1 billion in our bill as kind of a starting place for that very discussion. You know, I think there is an argument to be made in favor of spreading the appropriation itself out over 2 years. So to back up actually a second, the $1 billion as we proposed it was a multi-year appropriation, or is a multi-year appropriation, spread out over the 4 years of allowability, but appropriated all up front. So that would allow for some management of those funds and to spread them out over the time period. However, there is a good argument to be made for only appropriating a portion this year and appropriating a portion next year. Primarily, you know, that one of the arguments around that is that we may actually be forced to do so by the federal government. There is some talk of only providing us half of this fund, these funds this year, and waiting 12 months to provide the other half. So we may be in a situation where we can only appropriate about $510 million. So that definitely needs to be part of the discussion around how we address these funds.
Another question, Mr. Chair, if I could. What is the administration's position on, say, writing checks to individuals or businesses, nonprofits, versus maybe investments that develop infrastructure for businesses and individuals?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, you know, as we've laid out our plan, we've tried to create some balance between both of those needs. You know, there's obviously businesses that need direct relief, businesses and individuals that need direct relief, but you know, we also need to be thinking about kind of some of those things that generate the, you know, the environment that allows businesses to continue to function once this opportunity for federal relief goes away. Since that direct relief will be very short term because this funding is really only available now, we do need to think about balancing the money between, you know, relief to individuals and businesses as well as things that create, you know, stable economic development long term.
Thank you.
No further questions. Please continue.
Moving to page four, item eight on page four goes along with item seven on page three, and that reflects the unrestricted general fund reduction, one-time unrestricted general fund reduction that allows for that revenue offset ability. Item nine is a language item that we included in the bill that we've titled Compliance and Contingencies that reaffirms that any action taken with the ARP funding needs to be done so in compliance with the federal rules as they are released on May 10th and possibly updated. One thing we know is that under the CRF, the guidelines changed many times over the course of last summer. So one, we are looking to be prepared for guidelines to change as we start operating some of the programs that get appropriated through the legislative process. One of the concerns there is that we may have changes in guidelines or reinterpretations of guidelines that make a plan made during legislative session incompatible with changing guidelines. So we included language to try to ensure that once a plan is developed and an appropriation is made, we're able to execute on that without disruption. And so that language allows for use of the revenue offset ability under ARP to ensure that should some piece of this appropriation be found ineligible, we're able to utilize revenue offset to cover the cost of that and avoid compliance issues with federal guidelines. And the final item on the list, item 10, is $112.3 million in what's called the Coronavirus Capital Projects Fund. This is allowable to carry out capital projects directly enabling work, education, and health monitoring. We have, since we put out this bill, started to receive not necessarily specific written guidance, but indications that the U.S. Treasury will interpret this fairly strictly as relating to broadband.
Senator Olson, question, sir?
Say that again, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any questions?
No, actually, I do not. Thanks for asking.
Yep. Senator Wilikowski, any closing questions?
No, thank you.
All right, very good. Committee members?
Good.
Any questions? All right, this will conclude today's meeting. I just have one, Mr. Steininger. Do you have any updates on the guidance, and is May 10th still looking like the date for that guidance?
Chair Bishop, I don't really have any update on the guidance. We occasionally receive, guidance on some of the more specific pots of money or, some additional information on the more specific pots of money. However, we haven't received much additional guidance on the larger discretionary monies. May 10th is the deadline for guidance. We're still hopeful we receive it earlier, but we know it took the U.S. Treasury a little while to actually hire on the team that would be writing the guidance. So I don't anticipate that will come significantly earlier than May 10th, but I would like to be proven wrong in that assessment.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Steininger. Monday, 9 a.m., we will have HB 100 up, extend Workforce Investment Board allocations, SB 9, alcohol beverage control, HB 69, appropriations, operating budget loan funds, HB 71, mental health budget, 9 a.m. Any closing comments? Seeing none, we're adjourned at 9:55.